The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
What's up?
A lot of people are... That song applies to quite a few people these days. Everybody's getting dressed up to go to banquets. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people are.
One time a year.
That's it, man.
One time.
Get all dressed up, smelling good. And then the next thing you know, you're back in the pits all stinking and pissing and cussing and back at it again.
And that's Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA Live. It's Tuesday night. We're back again. Man, what a show you guys did last night on Inside Florida Racing, man. Phil and Liz from North Florida Speedway, were they excited or what?
Yeah, that's cool, man. And, you know, it was really funny because, you know, after talking to them and going through it and looking at really looking at detail at what they've done,
yeah,
they deserve it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. From where that track was to where it is today.
And no doubt. Man, it was a field with an outhouse until they took it
over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Shan Smith, of course, dirt driver. He's done so much in the past year.
Yeah, he's come a long way in a short time.
And Robbie Cooper for the asphalt guys.
Off the charts.
Off the charts. Won it all last year.
You know, I was thinking last after that we got through talking to him, and I was writing a little article later on. It reminded me, remember a few years ago how there was a year about, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, when Wayne Anderson in Florida in the super late models.
Yeah, unstoppable. Untouchable.
That's the way Robbie was. Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, you don't get to have them kind of years very often or at all.
Oh, at all.
And Robbie had one last year, man. It's going to be tough to back that up this year, but I'm sure he's going to give it a shot.
Go ahead. Well, as I say, I went to the very first race that I've been to this year.
Well, I was at the one Saturday night.
Huh?
I was there Saturday night.
Yeah, but I mean a big late model race.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
150 laps, 27 cars on a small 3/8 mile track.
Small
3/8 mile track.
Racy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you better bring some headache powder to one of those. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know the race Saturday night, the Karnak Outlaw Street Stock Switch Off race.
That's pretty good.
It was really good. There was some slicing and dicing going on in that race, and I thoroughly enjoyed it till the rain came. It was different sitting in the grandstands.
Yeah,
a whole different perspective.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, tomorrow night, by the way, on Real Racing USA, we spoke with Ralph Hester, the promoter of the Mockley Drag Strip.
Right,
remember
right,
last right. year. He's going to be back with Straight Line with Stevie.
All right.
Stevie the Temp Show tomorrow night, along with some other pretty interesting guests. He's got this this lady. She's the Bic Lighter Queen.
Uh-huh. Just I was reading a little bit about that.
Yeah. You just checking that out?
Yeah,
that's tomorrow night. And, of course, then we have the ASA, O'Reilly ASA Late Model Show tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 2, right after Straight Line
some
with
big
Stevie.
News coming up in that
there
ASA that I hear.
There could be some major news.
Major
coming
announcement
out of that.
In the ASA coming up, we hope, anyway.
Yeah, could be. But then tonight, what do we got, man?
We've got John Key from the ASA Southeast Tour. That's the super late model tour that's got the television deal. Joe Schmalling. From the Super Cup Series, the former Hooters Pro Cup Steel Body Cars, their first full season kicking off in 2008. Blake Lear, of course, super late model driver. He moved up to North Carolina. He'll be down for Speed Fest at Lakeland. He'll be on with us driving the super late model. And Dennis Nixon from South Georgia Motorsports Park. He'll be on with us. Of course, he's doing a radio show, too. He's been doing a radio show for quite a while called Southern Speed Racing for 4 years. He's been doing that show, so we'll be talking to Dennis Nixon. And also going to be talking about the short track white paper. Now, that was quite a study they did with that, the white paper there on the short tracks in North Carolina. That was different. We'll be talking about that. And Andy, how do you pronounce his last name?
I do believe it's Zeiss.
Zeiss?
I believe.
He'll be climbing into the Junior Miller NASCAR Whelen Southern Modified. So that's a big step up for him. And we'll be talking to him later on tonight.
And just as a word of announcement and probably a little bit of a warning, we're operating Real Racing USA Live tonight with considerable amount of backup equipment. We blew a transmission in our front car there, and we're using a backup tonight.
Using the backup car.
Hopefully everything will work out all right. And meanwhile, Rick, we have John Key from the ASA Southeast Tour on the line with us. So welcome to Real Racing USA Live, John.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
All right. So now you're up at, are you in Georgia?
Yes, I'm in Athens, Georgia, home of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, yeah.
Yeah, you keeping it cold up there right now?
It's a little wintry up here, yeah. But just keep looking ahead. Sunday's forecast is for weather up around the 60s, so got to go find a car race somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. So go ahead, Rick. Tell us, John, about the your role with the ASA Southeast Tour and a little bit about your deal with them.
Well, the primary responsibility I have is really putting together a marketing package. I really started out doing that working with Rick Benjamin over in Charlotte. That's quite a good background in broadcasting. And we worked with Rick and a syndicator to put together a television package and then the sales sponsorship, and I'm responsible for that. And then we have fortunately have a technical team and a promotion team and everything, so I don't have to get involved in that part. They change the oil in my car for me and everything and keep things going.
You can't beat that with a stick. Tell us a little bit about the TV deal you got going with that.
Excuse me?
The TV deal?
Yeah, we just got an update as of Saturday. Our goal was primarily, when we first sat down and talked with Rick, was to be in the eastern half of the country, primarily east of the Mississippi, excluding New England. And we were hoping to reach about 30 million households with that broadcast package. We got some feedback Saturday that we're real happy that we've exceeded that. We're up to 55 million households. And we've been fortunate that we're reaching out with America One, Altitude Sports, and Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. And then, of course, they cascade down into some of the satellite carriers. We're up to 55 million households, like I said, and we're real excited about that. So from going what I thought was going to be primarily an East Coast package, we've gone national now, and we're reaching into most markets.
Is this going to be the most televised super late model series in the country, pretty much?
Boy, I'm not an authority to say that, but I would think so, yeah. I think it's probably pretty close. The nice thing, when we say televised a lot, too, is, as you're probably aware, a lot of these carriers will broadcast our races at least three times. So the nice part about that is we're getting slotted in a different time slot so that the West Coast people will have a chance to see those races at a pretty reasonable time out there.
And that does make better for the drivers and the car owners for sponsorship. If, you know, the races are going to be broadcast three times.
Absolutely, and it's elevated it to a new level. You know, we were primarily focusing on companies that did the bulk of their business in that eastern half of the country, and I've been pretty busy the last 2 days updating some of our sponsors because it has some real positive, serious ramifications about what they'll be doing as far as their commercial time and that kind of thing. So, like I said, and then the racers, that was the real thing that we wanted to do, was to get the news out there that we're in these marketplaces. You can do it a little at a time through print media and that kind of thing, but the way to really get it out there is to get it on television. And the nice thing about it, everywhere we go, these people can step out their back door and find a racetrack pretty close by with similar racing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule right now. Tell us a little bit about the select races that are Road to Nashville events.
Those are going to be televised races, and the one thing that we really want to do, I pulled out an archive picture of the Nashville race back in 60, which I've got to tell you as an aside, by the way, it's phenomenal if you get a chance to look that up. Richard Petty won that race, and he was leading by 5 laps at the end of the race, which speaks well for Richard. But one of the shots of that race, if you look at Richard crossing the start-finish line, the people in the stands, it's shoulder to shoulder. Every row is filled up right down to the first row. And, you know, ideally we'd like to get back there where we're starting to fill up the stands. And so we're making people excited and aware that Nashville is a great destination as we go through the season. We'll have drawings for fans for tickets and some overnight accommodations and that kind of thing. And then there's a grand prize with airline and hotel and some entertainment. But again, as you're aware, there are a lot of things to do in Nashville, and I'm not sure that we've always really touted that part of the trip to the racers. I've talked to several guys that say they go up there and work for 14 hours, 2 days in a row, and pack it all up and come home. But you know, there's a lot to do up there, and we want to really bring that out, and then celebrating the history of the Motorplex there.
Absolutely, and you know, I mean, Nashville has the long, long history of late model racing there, going, you know, All Pro, Southern All Stars. Everybody has had their big races right there at Nashville, and this one's going to be the Adam Petty Memorial All American 400. What a way to wind up a season!
Oh, like I said, we're really excited. We're getting you know, the guys from ASA and the Midwest Tour, and all the way out to the Northwest Tour. They want to come out, but again, like I said, the big thing is Nashville is a great, great destination city, and certainly we're going to have some great racing, but we're going to have a lot of fun when we're up there, too, and we want all the racers to come in for the race with that in mind.
And how many races are there on the schedule?
We have 15 points races, and then we're going to go out and join up with the ASA Midwest Tour in Iowa during the summer, and that'll be a non-points race, and then Nashville is a non-points race. Really, Nashville is being promoted. We're not so much putting our label on that as an ASA race. We're just really trying to do the promotion and the organizational part of the race, but it's a wide-open event. It's not a sanctioned event for points or anything like that. It's for competition.
It's the All-American 400, what it's always been for years and years and years.
Yes.
So what are the, like, what's, do you know what the payouts are? Like what's a winner get for one of the regular races during the year?
One of the regular races right now where we stand is $3,500 to win, and then we are paying all the way through the field to guarantee $600. And, you know, we're not making promises, obviously, at this stage, but we've had good response from sponsors, and I think this latest announcement with television, any chance we get, we're going to try to move the bar up on that. I doubt that it's going to increase incrementally to a great extent, but we'd like to get it up around $4,000, and then that to start money, if we could get that up a little bit, that would be ideal, too.
Well, it's $600 to start. I mean, that's pretty good in itself compared to what a lot of the super late model series are running.
What they're used to doing,
right?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's good, but you know, we have to look at the reality out there that, you know, the gasoline prices are probably going to stay what they are, and we definitely have to be conscious of that, or what it costs to travel.
Right.
And that's one concern of ours. So my goal is to, like I said, is in terms of sponsorship money, is to put as much back in the purse of the racers as we can.
John, when you go into these events, like, do you do a lot of pre-race publicity and whatnot?
We've already started working with the local civic groups and that kind of thing to make them aware of the number of people we're bringing in. We're going in with the Pro Challenge guys, and they're, you know, they'll bring 20 to 30 cars, and we're looking at a pretty good car count. We anticipate somewhere around 50 cars coming in, and a lot of family and friends and supporters will come in with the show. And so that has a good, solid impact on the communities we're visiting. So what we're doing now is making them aware of who's coming and what's coming. And we're also buying media in these markets. As a good example, we're spreading that media out, and I think of Cordele. We're actually going to be promoting into Waycross, Georgia, and Macon, and Albany, Georgia, which are around a radius of a wheel, or about 45 miles
sure.
from the racetrack.
Sure.
Pretty easy to get there, and there are a lot of race fans down there. So what we're doing is really trying to broaden the reach of the media that we have out there.
Yeah, we're talking to John Key from the ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour. The other unique thing about the series this year is you're going to a road course.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And there's obviously a lot of excitement.
John, you laugh.
Well, we're getting some guys, you know, I guess there's some real road racers out there that think these circle track guys think they kind of own the world when it comes to racing. And so we've got a lot of circle track guys. Even Ron Barfield, over the owner of the Dillon track, is talking about dusting off a car and bringing it over and going after these guys. So I think a lot of road course guys think this is the chance to knock some guys off the roost there. It's heated up pretty good. We're hearing some at least some real good locker room talk about what's going to happen out there during that race.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of wannabe Boris Seds around.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No doubt.
And in all seriousness, we probably have some young people out that may not realize it, but they might find that that's the kind of racing they're really talented in. And that's the objective here. You know, the whole series is really set up that way, to have different tracks and get these drivers a chance to see how they perform in different situations. And the road course is certainly the epitome of that.
So driver-wise, what do you think? Is it mostly going to be guys from the South? People that will race fans that go to races a lot are going to recognize most of the names, or are we going to get people from the North or Midwest? What do you expect?
Well, ironically, it's all of the above. We're getting, I fielded some calls today from New England, and they're coming in regularly. We have a lot of guys that are going to race the Pass North, and they're coming down, and they're coming down out of the, you know, winter weather early in the season, and they want to race with us late as well, because our season's extended compared to theirs. And then we're getting a lot of the guys from the upper Midwest. And then also Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, as you're aware, doesn't have a lot of tracks out there, so we've got a lot of racers out in Texas to race blacktop racing and late models. So we're really pretty spread out. Ironically, a lot of the guys that raced gas last year in some of those series probably haven't come in as heavy as I might have anticipated. We're getting a real broad spectrum as far as driver geography.
Gotcha.
Well, what's good to see is, and you haven't seen this in a long, long time, is a couple dates right here in Florida.
Absolutely. We're excited. We were able to work things out with Lakeland, and we're going to be able to run down there. Very excited about that. And then Bronson is a great little track. That should be a real challenge for everybody. And one thing I wanted to point out, you know, we have some of these what we would call bull rings, and we'll run a final field of 24 there, but our intent is not to send anybody home until they've had some racetrack time, so we'll have heat races and that kind of thing leading up to the main feature.
Go ahead.
And no, I just want to, you know, that's an important thing. I guess the one thing I've been very conscious of is seeing some of these large fields come into track sometimes, and after qualifying's over, they load up and go home and never touch the racetrack under a green flag. So we're going to make sure that they get a chance to race wherever we go.
Yeah, and, you know, talking bull rings, I mean, on the schedule, it says you're giving Bronson a 3/8 mile. That's a big.
That's generous. Yeah,
that's big. Real generous.
On Wikipedia, if there's a definition for a bull ring,
that's it.
Bronson has got to be the picture.
That's a beautiful little track down.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Mike Cope.
Mike Cope has done a fantastic job, and very proud of the place, as he should be. And it's sparkling. It really is. It's a nice track.
Yeah, 10 years ago,
boy, I tell you, that was one dangerous place.
Scary racetrack, right there.
Yeah, that was a scary place. No walls around it. Yeah,
oh my goodness.
Dunes around the down the back straight, and if people come off the turns, hit the dunes and go airborne, and then there was you'd go airborne, and then besides all that, there was a 20-foot drop below that. It was crazy.
And big pine trees.
And big. Mike. I mean, he really changed the place completely when he took it over, and it's a wonderful track. And it's in a great place. I mean, it's right down the road from Gainesville. You know.
Oh yeah, we want to get the students involved in this thing. We've got some plans to, you know, do some fun type racing before. We have the buses parked out there, and you know, we're planning definitely on having some bus races and some other novelty things to get people out. And
hey, John.
Yes.
Beer.
That could be. I'm going to have to ask the students here in Athens. I'm not sure that they're into that, but they could probably give me some advice.
Yeah. I bet they could. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of commonality there.
Yeah.
As you're a marketing guy here, you're out dealing with the sponsors and trying to shake things loose. How's the economy affecting? How do you see this thing playing out this year? I mean, not just with your series particularly, just in general terms.
Obviously, the building industry really has some challenges, and that's both on the commercial and the home building side. But the one thing I will say, it's interesting the reaction we've gotten from a lot of the sponsors is they feel like short track racing could, based on the economic times, make a resurgence for a couple of reasons. One is just the sheer cost of tickets. And then the other thing is availability, the close proximity of tracks to pretty much anybody in the United States. And so their feeling is that as the economy worsens, people are still going to have a hunger for racing, but they're just not going to be able to go as far maybe to some of the bigger races. And so there's a feeling out there that, you know, we can see a resurgence in some short track racing. It's kind of a silver lining to the cloud potentially. And that's the reaction I'm getting is that, you know, they think that, you know, the lower ticket prices, the lower cost of sponsorship, and then the close proximity to people's homes could be a plus.
And what are you guys charging for your events?
To get into the races themselves?
Yes.
$12.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're actually going underneath what a lot of the tracks are charging. And really trying to put the burden on the sponsors. We're not trying to make money for the races or the purses on the race fan or the racer. Our goal is to get the sponsors to help pay the tariff.
Yeah, well, you know, guys like to do what we do, interview people in the media. We always seem to have our pet peeves. You know, for years my pet peeve was safety, and lately I've just developed a pet peeve about ticket pricing. I think there needs to be a lot more thought put into it, I think. How did y'all come up with the $12 deal?
Well, I'll digress a little bit and say I'm not even sure 12 is good value. I'll tell you how I came up with it is I went to some of the races and I took my little handheld camera along and took pictures of the grandstands, and I looked back up into the grandstands at the people looking at the race. And these are diehard race fans, and to be honest, I believe for many of them or a lot of them that, you know, a couple or a family coming in there, and if a couple, even if the kids get in free, that's $30, and then you've got food. That's a lot of money for a lot of these people, but they absolutely love their racing. So my goal is that I'd rather see the old adage is that I'd rather see 2,000 people there at $5 than 1,000 people at $10. You know, I just think that's the way we ought to go. And, you know, for a lot of these people, the Snowball and the 400 and things like that, that's their Daytona. And so, you know, it's a big deal for them to spend that $30 for a couple to go to a race. And so I think we can't forget that. I think we can't forget who our mainstream race fan is.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. That's good. That's 12, what do you think, Rick?
$12. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you get a big show like that coming in. You ought to have good crowds for that one. $12, that's an awesome deal.
Cool.
We hope so. Like I said, I'm just hoping that's not too high. You know, again, I think we've tried to move the bar up a little bit. And again, $30, when you step back and look at it, is a lot of money for somebody that probably wants to go to a lot of races during the year.
Yeah, particularly when you factor in the, you know, like you said, if you got a husband, wife, and two or three kids, and you've spent some money before you even got a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. So, what's the next big milestone? What's the first race again?
We're down at we're going to go down to Mobile. We got a nice fast track, and we'll get our message out to the racers that if you want to go fast, we're going to give you some chances. We mentioned that road course. We'll look at some straightaway speeds up around 160, 155 miles an hour. Mobile's a good fast track. Lakeland's a fast track, and we're going to kind of do this one without being out in front of everybody. And so if we mess up a bunch, at least it won't be in front of national television. So, but we're excited about going to Mobile. It has a lot of history in itself. And you were mentioning that no wall on the backstretch and some things. So there's some pretty exciting features to that racetrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of history at Mobile.
Absolutely.
Well, John, it's been great talking to you, man. Of course, we're going to be checking you out when you get down here to Florida.
Yeah, no, we'll probably come up and I know I'm not going to be able to make the watermelon or the Mobile race, but we might be able to come. I think we're going to hit either the South Georgia Motorsports Park event or the Watermelon Capital.
That's super. We'll go out and get some good barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my unofficial duty is to do a barbecue survey as we go through the Southeast. So.
Yeah, we were at Watermelon Capital last year. I went. That was the first time I was ever there. That was a nice little track, man.
It's a great little track.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah. All right, John. Good talking.
Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. John Key, ASA Southeast Tour. Not to be confused with the ASA Late Models South.
Crate. Those are crate motors.
Those are crate motors. These are super late models.
These are the big ones.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be
$12.
$12. I'm telling you.
$12. I was shocked. That's a great deal. And you're going to get to see some big super late model drivers in this deal. I'm pretty sure of that. Of course, and our own super late model drivers, I'm sure will be, joining in for
from Florida.
Least, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
USA and at Bronson at least, and probably a couple of the deals in the Southern Georgia region.
Yeah, that TV for the guys in the South that are looking for to go somewhere. That TV deal is a big sway. I mean,
exposure.
The TV deal is a big sway. Of course, the competition's a little different too. You'll have some young people, but you're going to have some grizzled old veterans.
The Augie Grills and those types, the Wayne Andersons, and
we're going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to talk to Joe Schmalling from the Super Cup Series and find out what that's all about, what their newest and latest news is, and of course that's the series of the steel bodied. Ex Hooters Pro Cup.
Former Pro Hooters Pro Cup cars.
There you go.
And so why don't you take us out to a break, Jack?
Well, we're going to try.
With our Model A equipment.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or seasoned.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
We're back with Real Racing USA Live, as live as we can be, right here at the Real Racing USA Studios.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I'm going to scrounge up here, get on the phone and track down Joe Schmalling, but we had a race fans are funny. We had a caller call in during a break. You know, it's amazing how controversy, they just can't keep controversy away.
That's what makes the sport go round and round and round and round and round and round.
They wanted us to ask our previous guest, John Key, who really owned the ASA. I was like, how are we supposed to know? I think courts are going to decide that.
I don't think that's any of our concern at the moment.
I don't think so either.
Not that, you know, I mean, the season hasn't started yet and nobody's hitting anybody or anything like that. So, yeah.
But that's the funny thing is that fans call in with those kinds of deals.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Well, this weekend's a big weekend. Speed Fest at USA Speedway kicks off. Actually, that's our, even though we had Charlotte County Speedway, Charlotte County Motorsports Park kicked off their 150 lap race this weekend. The big track kicks it off this Saturday night with the Speed Fest North South Challenge. And the ASA Crate late models will be there. That's going to be a big race. Everybody come up and check that out.
Yeah, we'll be there. What? I'll be there Friday. We're going to be there Friday, and we have people there covering that event Friday and Saturday. You'll be there Saturday.
Yeah. Going to try and make it up there Saturday. Let me pull that up. USA Speedfest 2008, Thursday through Saturday, January 24th through the 26th. David Stremme will be there. Kyle Busch is supposed to be ready. Tim Russell's ready to kick it off down there. It's going to be a great race. CRA Super Series, the Sunbelt Super Series, and, of course, the ASA Crate late models will be there. Some of the expected entries for the ASA guys is Bo Slocum, Chris Stump, Eddie Hoffman, Justin Draughty, Michael Pilla, Travis Cote. Jack Smith, you're racing up there?
That's my alter ego.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think you were from Mendino,
Ohio. You know, he has a lifetime ban from the ASA.
Jack Smith?
Yeah.
The old Jack Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that ran NASCAR?
No, him.
Oh, this Jack Smith?
Yeah.
Well, why is he racing in the ASA?
I don't know. It must not be a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
He had the Jason Boyd treatment. Yeah. He got the Jason Boyd treatment.
I don't see Jason Boyd's name on this list.
No. But anyway... Let's talk Super Cup Series.
All right.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA Live. Joe Schmalling.
Pleasure being with you. Thank you for having me on here tonight.
All right. How's it up in North Carolina?
It is cold. You know, I always thought if you moved closer to the sun, you should be warmer. It just doesn't work out that way.
How cold is it, Joe?
It was 8 degrees this morning.
Get out of here!
Yes, it was really 8 degrees this morning.
Really 8 degrees.
Holy cow.
It was about 60 this morning here.
Holy.
And you were crying about how cold it got Sunday. It must have been a whole 55.
I was at a race that was probably 50, but the wind was blowing. It was probably, no, I think it was colder. It was cold.
50 degrees would be like summertime here. I got
that
race,
it
was 50 degrees.
So now the Super Cup Series, when do you kick off the deal this year?
We're at March 8th.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Tri County Motor Speedway.
All right.
And Tri County has graciously hosted our series as our home racetrack, and we're going to open our season there and run one race in June, and then close our season out there on October 25th.
Yeah. So, what is since the last time we talked with you, has there been some additional news come in on like who's going to be racing or things of that nature?
Right now, like I said, we've got 10 teams signed up right this minute. I've got a few more envelopes here I haven't gone through yet. Lots and lots of interest, but they're racers, and some of them are still knee-deep in snow, and it's really hard to get them to go out and send their registration forms in.
Oh, yeah, and they're talking their wives into it and all that good stuff.
Right.
Huh? Sure.
But we have put an extra person on for March 8th to handle the applications because they'll have them in their hands. But we feel really good about the response that we've gotten. We did the Piedmont Expo down there at Philip Walker's show this weekend. And I ran into people that I haven't seen in 2 or 3 years that are really excited about what we're doing. So, like I said, we're really pleased. We're currently talking with two title sponsors, potential title sponsors. And you had asked last time about tires, and we're talking with BFG. We'd like to run on a radial tire. And we're also talking with Hoosier, so we hope to have one of those agreements signed here in the next week or so.
I tell you what, Hoosier is really coming on strong in the short track racing world. Yes. Joe, in your estimation, how many of these cars do you think will be sitting out there that aren't going to change over to the new body style?
It's not so much that aren't going to change over. It's the ones that just have already, the series has already passed them by because of traveling costs or cost of keeping up with it. I estimate there's 200 steel body Super Cup cars sitting around at this point.
200. That's a
200.
Yeah, and they're very similar to what was formerly the Busch, now the Nationwide Series, and former NASCAR cars, right?
Yes, you can. They can bring, if someone has an old Busch car, they can bring it in with minor changes and run it in our series. A Busch East car would be also welcomed in our series. In fact, we had a man from Florida call me, and he had a 1987 Delta 88 Daytona car.
Oh, man.
This was a car with 3,700 pounds. And he heard about the series, and he called and talked, and we want him to run our nose and tail, which is the same program that we had when they were Hooters Cup cars, just to keep our cars looking the same. And, of course, no one ever made a nose for a Delta 88 except for back in 1987. So I told him, I said, we'd be glad to have you come and race with us, and wouldn't make them change to our nose and tail just because there's not one available. But he told me that his crew and him totaled up to be 268 years old.
Oh, wow.
And they would like nothing more than to come and race their old car and see how many of our 100 laps that they could make. So we're really looking forward to having them come and race with us.
I bet. That sounds great.
So the races are all 100-lap races?
100-lap races, all green flag, hopefully all in a row, but that's probably high hopes. we may even post a little extra money for a caution-free event. But my luck is they'll do it, and then we'll have to give them more money.
Now, you know, that's something I've really never heard of.
You know, I told them that this race I was at last weekend, I would turn a red flag. I walked over and told a flagman that they ought to call up to the tower and offer a bonus. Or no, offer tell people that the next guy who causes a caution, it's a $250 fine. It was cold. We wanted to get this thing done. You know, the guys in the back kept causing cautions, which usually in these races, that's where it happens anyway.
Right. I guess everyone's fighting to be last.
Yeah, right.
There's someone at every racetrack you go to. I don't care, every short track I've ever been to, there's always someone fighting for last.
Always.
They seem to fight harder than the people that are leading the show, but it's part of what a racing is, and it's fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, we've made, you know, quite a lot of strides here. The people, the calls are unbelievable. We looked at the stats on our website, and I can't even believe there's that many people out there that are interested in it. So we hope to have a very good year. And one of the things about your time slot that you put me on, it just kind of makes up for that last one. You made me follow Fritz and Dennis Hoops, so I'll forgive the guys now. And
yeah.
We'll start off our happy new year on our even keel.
I got to tell you, Joe, that thought actually crossed my mind when I scheduled this guest today. I remembered that, and I did think about it. I said, we're not going to do that again, Joe.
Well, I noticed that you said you were going to come by our booth at the PRI show, and you never came by.
Oh, man.
And I said, I thought those guys were braver than that. I can't believe they wouldn't come by and see me. But
what a day.
I don't think we could find you.
We were.
That place is huge.
place a million square feet. Is that a phenomenal thing?
Isn't it awesome? We were there. Probably we could only be there about 4 hours. Oh, that's where it was, because about 4 o'clock we got there at noon.
Right.
Noonish,
yeah. Yeah.
And about 4 o'clock we're thinking, because we don't normally go to the sprint car race over in Orlando, but we were going to go this year to go do some coverage. And I said, we got to get out of here, otherwise we'll never get there, because it's a bit of a trial to get there from where we were at the convention center. So we left early, and so therefore that's why we didn't. We wandered around like zombies, the three of us, for a while.
Well, we were there, including setup day, for 4 days, and I still didn't get to see everybody that I wanted to see.
Yeah, but was it beneficial, do you think?
Oh, we think so. Yeah, the people, there was four of us that were down there, and we talked. When I got back, I had laryngitis and couldn't hardly talk anymore.
Yeah,
and that's what it's about. We met several of the racetrack promoters of tracks that we're going to, that we've just been on phone calls with and emails, and got to meet them and talk to so many different people. And if 1 in 10 actually comes to our race, we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, we're talking there about the performance racing industry trade show at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando Speed, or at Orlando, Florida, which is right down the road from Disney World. And it is a huge, huge building. It's enormous. I mean, it's like they could build rocket ships in this place easily. I mean, you could build B-52s in this place.
The stuff that was in there, I mean, I know I didn't even get to see half of what was in there.
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
It's a huge event every year in December. And so it's a place to meet people and network at a whole new level, right, Joe?
Oh, it's yeah, absolutely. You get everybody in one place for 3 days, and you can meet people that you've talked to on the phone, you know, that you haven't seen in years. You never know who's going to walk by or who you're going to bump into, because it's just a who's who of auto racing.
I'll tell you, and speaking of that point exactly, we were over by the ASA late model booth at one point, and I had talked to Kevin Zawinski on the phone, but I'd never met him in person. And one of the guys I know said, you know who that guy is standing right? He's standing right next to me. He said, this is a big guy, you know. He does not look like a race car driver, you know. He's too big. And that's Kevin Zawinski, so you got to talk to him for a few minutes. But that's exactly the kind of deal. I mean, you never know who you're going to run into.
Well, you were in sight of us if you were at ASA. The ASA, ARCA, UARA,
mm-hmm.
They had kind of had us all in there together.
Down in that corner?
Oh,
maybe, you know, I think we're talking about the other ASA deal probably. Cause,
that may be. Yeah, we were over where ARCA was. I was only 40 or 50 feet from the ARCA booth.
Yeah.
We were right in the middle of the North Hall.
Yeah, yeah. Did you bring your? I hope you brought a lot of grocery money.
things were expensive.
Yeah, they were.
We ate the biggest breakfast that we could, and then we snacked and then left early.
Yeah, food was great though.
Food
was great, but it's a little pricey.
I went to an ice cream bar that was $5.
Yeah. I ate a sandwich that was like 18.
Yeah, crazy stuff. But so the who like each race? How much do you get for each race? The winner?
Right now, we're opening up. We're paying $1,000 to win one of these 100-lap races.
And then it's like a points fund kind of deal. You guys are putting together. You're still in the process of putting all that together.
Yeah, we're still in the process of putting that together. We were hoping that you were going to fund that. Isn't that what you called me about?
Oh, man. That's like we're back to the checks in the mail.
Phones are messed up again.
Time for that TV commercial, isn't it?
Right. No, you see, we have, it's just coming along. We're just so pleased. And I did think it would be a little easier with all my experience over the years. I guess I realize now all of those people that I didn't think did anything did an awful lot. Because now I have to do it all.
Now, you worked with the Pro Cup?
I was with the Pro Cup from the time they started.
Yeah.
I was there for the, you know, for the first Pro Cup race when they started the Pro Cup series.
Yeah.
And been with them all out years, and you don't realize how many people behind the scenes are there, you know.
Sure.
Until you try to do this by yourself. But my partners and I are—I keep them pretty busy. There's always something to do. But I left this morning at, when it was 8 degrees at 6:30 to start my day, and I got home about an hour before you called me.
All right. Well, first race is in March, and you got the what's the website there, Rick?
Yeah. I was just getting ready to ask him that.
Oh,
I
thought you were
right. It's supercupstockcartheory.com. And they need to plug it into their favorites because it's way too much to have to type in every time.
Right.
Supercupstockcartheory.com. You can also go to the Tri-County Motor Speedway at tricountymotorspeedway.com and link over. There's several links.
Yeah, that's
on
cool.
Our site, to your site, and to
that's cool, Joe. You send us send us a logo or something. Send us an email with the graphic and whatnot that you want. We'll put it on realracingusa.com.
Well, that's really good because it was right here on my list that it wasn't on your Real Racing USA.
Yeah, you got to just send it over to me and we'll get it on there. That's cool.
Really good. We've got a really nice logo, and like I said, it's on my notes. That it's not on. I was looking through there. No Super Cup series.
Yeah, no. Once you guys get your when you get started, I'm sure we'll Skip Wall will be over there helping us get some coverage up close and personal and photographs and all like that, and we'll look forward to it.
Well, I do have one announcement that I guess it was down here at the bottom of my list. NASCAR Images is doing a film called Fast Girls, a TV program that they're producing. And one of the girls that's in the their pilot program is, or on their pilot CD, is Megan Rettenauer, who's going to race in our series for Nesbitt Racing.
Really?
Yes, she did a...
Mart's doing that, huh?
Mart is fielding a car for her.
Huh.
We brought her down. A friend of mine saw her in a year or so ago and called me and said, there's a nice young girl up here. You need to take a look at her. She's really good. And what we did was we brought her down in July, and Mart tested her at Tri-County Motor Speedway. And Mike Viney from NASCAR Images came over and filmed it, sent a film crew over. And they liked what they saw, and they made a pilot program out of it. They sent me a CD on it the other day. And they're going to come and film our first race as part of the Fast Girls series.
Fast Girls series, huh?
Fast Girls. Oh. Let me see what it says here on the it says Fast Girls Pilot. I've got the CD right here now with the NASCAR Images. They had sent it to me the other day. It's really interesting, and it's about three young girls. One of them is from runs go-karts in Kershaw, South Carolina. And the other girl runs Legend Cars, and Megan is the oldest of them.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that has moved up to a stock car, so they're featuring her as the lead of the three at this point, and then they're going to follow the other girls through their career over the next few years.
So, well, that's a good thing for having Megan in your series, too, because, you know from being your days in the Pro Cup, when they go out there and they have that the driver introductions and the autograph session, the last year's champions there, and he's got like 4, 6, 8, 10 people standing there in line getting autographs, and then right next to him, Michelle Theriot's got 47.
Right.
Well, that was interesting. You know, Michelle, of course, he always had a big smile, signed the autographs, and still we literally had to run the fans up.
That's right.
The road so we could run the race.
That's right. You know she helped put people in them seats, man.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and she ran. That was Martin Nesbitt she drove for.
Right.
I don't know if you know that.
Oh, yeah.
That 45 car was Martin Nesbitt.
Yeah.
And I said she had moved on and ran some Busch East last year and some Arca stuff. And,
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just remembered her dad called me, and I didn't call him back. I need to get in touch with him because, you know, we did, when she came into the Pro Cup, we did the very first interview that she did, and those are really, really good people, too. They never forgot it. But, yeah, it's good to have Megan come in there, and that she'll help put people in your seats, too.
Yeah, we think so. She's a really nice girl, comes from a nice family. She will drive wheels off of a race car.
All right.
When you get on our website, look on the More News, and go back to our exhibition race at Tri-County, and they just absolutely loved that girl. She did a tremendous job, and I think that was part of why the NASCAR Images decided to come back and follow her in our series. She did such a good job.
Well, Joe, I'll give you the offer too. I'm telling you, whoever comes up and finally gets it together and starts an all women's late model racing series, they're going to take the country by storm.
I'm telling you,
we've been saying that for a year. Nobody's bought yet, but I think it's something needs to happen.
It's really hard to find the people in racing that will support a woman individually. And we've always done that. I've always been a fan of women racing. And being as old as I am, I remember Janet Guthrie. So
I do, too.
And, in fact, this, like I said, this Fast Girls thing, Lynn St. James is on it with us. And I first met her in 1985 when I worked for the Buck Baker Driving School. She came down there and ran with us. But I've always been a fan. We helped put Michelle in Mark's car. We're going to put Megan and Mark. Mark and his dad are the greatest people in the world, and they love to help a young woman, and they've been really supportive of every time I brought one to them. They've tested them for free and raced them at cost, and they're just wonderful people. And we're going to do that with Megan. We're going to see what her potential is.
All right.
You need to come to Tri-County. You're going to be impressed with that young girl.
Cool. We'll see you at some point during this year, and we'll get back to you here. We'll probably talk to you before your first race, but I'll tell you what, we're up against the clock right now. And Joe Schmalling from the Super Cup Series.
Super Cup Series. Right. Joe, it's great talking to you again, brother.
All right. Thank you for having me on. We'll talk again, and please come to a Super Cup race.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right. Good night now.
Good night. Yeah, all you guys out there that have the still have the steel-bodied Hooters Pro Cup cars, get a hold of Joe. We'll get that link up on the website, so you can just click on it and go to it. It's a great.
Real
website.
Racing USA?
On realracingusa.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, .com. Or one of those websites.
Boy, we're getting behind here, man. We got to roll.
All right. Let's do it.
Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to Five Star Race Car Bodies. Five Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, Five Star has one driving passion: to help you win. Five Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at FiveStarBodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. from lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned...
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, Real Racing USA back on the airwaves. With us, join us right now, we've got the host of the NASCAR show on Monday night, Skip Wall. Skip, how you doing tonight?
Hi, guys. How about you?
No, that's Terry Wall.
Terry, rather. What am I saying?
Skip.
Terry.
Skip. Southern Moto Racing.
Yeah. Okay.
Southern Moto Racing at its finest tonight. We have another gentleman we're going to interview tonight. I'll let you introduce him.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that.
Yeah.
You're on a roll.
I already messed up an introduction as it is.
This is Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. We have Andy Zeiss with us from the NASCAR Whelen Southern Modified Tour and Skip Wall, of course, from the Southern Motor Racing website and, of course, works with Karnak.com and Real Racing USA on all kinds of news media stuff. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate having us on as well.
What's on your mind tonight, Skipper?
Well, we got this over in the Whelen Southern Modified Division. We got this new driver that decided to test his hand out in the racing last year, and he takes a family backed car and he wins a race at the Nashville Motorplex Complex and wins a race in the family backed car, and then he turns around and he gets the number one ride in the Whelen Southern Modified Tour with David Riggs Racing. Andy, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, I went down to the Southern Modified Tour because there was no other racing going on, you know, early in the spring, and see if we could just shake down our car after the long winter and try some new things. And, you know, we came out with a good battle with Tim Brown and, you know, came out on top after 150 laps. It was a great feeling, you know, great to win on a NASCAR tour. It was a first for me and, you know, a feeling second to none. And later in the year, you know, I got in a conversation with Jeff Riggs and we talked about going to Martinsville together because they put a lot of emphasis on that race being Martinsville based. And, you know, I was tickled to death to be mentioned to even be, you know, teammates to Junior Miller, but that never happened. And, you know, I was a little bummed out, but as it got announced that Junior wasn't going to be returning to the ride, I got another phone call and, you know, couldn't say no, jumped at the opportunity. And, you know, it was just great because they were, you know, interested in me and I was interested in doing it and everything just fell into place.
Andy, you know, a lot of people don't know about the Modified Series and how NASCAR is affiliated. Can you tell us a little bit the difference between a Modified and, say, the Sprint Cup, or can you explain a little bit how the Modified Series runs?
Well, you know, it's mainly short tracks. Anything over 3/4 of a mile, they put a restrictor plate on it. You know, it goes down to 400 horsepower because we have 15-inch wide tires rather than the 10-inch wide tires that you see on most stock cars, Busch and Cup. You know, with incredible turning capabilities, 2 inches off to the ground, you know, without a restrictor plate, 600 horsepower. You know, they're really just the ultimate racing machine. At most tracks, you'll see that the outside groove is the fastest and the one you want to be in. You know, you don't necessarily always want to be on the bottom and be pinched in a modified. So it makes for some great, great racing. You know, the fans love it. And, you know, if you've never been to a modified race, if you've just used to Nextel Cup on TV, you ought to come out and, you know, do yourself a favor and watch one of these modified races. I think you'll enjoy yourself.
And then tell us about the race experience you had up north.
Well, you know, just being from New Hampshire, you know, modifieds were big in Connecticut, and super modifieds were the local thing to do around here. So I started doing that, I got notice, got a ride in the modified. The True Value Modified Series was born around here about the same time that I was getting into modifieds. Started traveling New Hampshire, Maine, Connecticut, Massachusetts, going down to Florida and North Carolina. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of teams in modifieds in New England and a lot of money invested. You know, some real big teams, full-time guys and everything. It's hard to compete a lot. You know, going to tracks like Thompson, they'll be getting, 50 people to show up for a 30-car field. So you definitely got to be on your game. You know, we're just a family operation. We put a lot of emphasis on it. But, we've definitely made some strides of our own competing with the best of the best up here.
And in the North, they have the Modified North and then they have the Wheeland Southern Modifieds. Can you elaborate a little bit as to why the North has always dominated this series? Do you have any reason why
that is? It's been around a little bit longer in the North. I think you have a lot more local tracks, which feed the top drivers and local tracks, then go to the tour. So there's just so many teams up here. You've got to be on your game to compete on the Wheel and Modified Tour. But the other thing is, you see the Southern guys on a lot more bull rings. So you don't need the horsepower as much. So when we do meet up, it's definitely horsepower tracks. A lot of guys down south building their own motors pride themselves on that. We buy the motors up here, up north. But just the competition-wise, I think the south is catching up. And, hopefully, we return to Martinsville with the rigs and Advanced Auto Parts on board this year. We hope to change that and hopefully get the first Southern win at Martinsville in a long time.
And on that note, the rigs have raced in both series for years, and they've had some good competition. They've had good, excellent drivers in their car. How much pressure is that on Andy Seiss taking over a ride? You're 20 years old. You get the number one ride. You got an excellent sponsor in Advance Auto Parts. How much pressure is that to be able to come out next month at Caraway and tackle this?
It's a great deal of pressure, like you said. Just they've had the greatest of the greatest drive for them. They've always had good success everywhere. Big sponsor. And this will be the first time that I have to show up and get the job done. It is my job to make that car go fast once I'm out there in the 150-lap race after, the crew has done their job and given me a good car. I got to take the wheel over and get it to the front. So that's a little different for me, a little pressure there. And replacing Junior Miller, he is the king of the South. There's a lot for that. But Jeff and the Riggs family have been awesome to me. They know I'm a rookie going into this. They're already telling me, you don't have to prove anything. To have them behind me and believe in me and say I don't have to prove anything, and they're not going to be disappointed if, just luck doesn't go our way and we don't have the success they've had in the past. Just means a lot to me. And, that takes the pressure off knowing how much that they believe in me.
What's your goal for this year in the Wheeler Southern?
Well, we're shooting for the Rookie of the Year honors, definitely. That's something that I've been looking at for a while. We won a race last year. We want to keep winning, hopefully win a few races and, just run up front consistently, and at the end of the year, if we're in a position to win the championship, we'll go for that too.
Jeff Riggs feels like that you can win a race this year. His goal is to get you finished in the top five, but he feels like that you can win a race this year. Do you feel like that you can do that?
I do believe so, and if everything goes right, they've had seasons where they've won more than half the races, and hopefully I can get them back on that same page. A lot of these tracks that we're going to, Caraway, I've had some good success at with our car. Greenville Pickens, I've done well at. Stuff like that, hopefully I can just, give it one little extra to win at those tracks this year for Riggs.
And then you got Bowman Gray Stadium Friday afternoon. You walk in there, and I'm sure you've heard about the heritage there. They have crowds of 11,000 to 13,000 each week. Are you going to run Bowman Gray this year?
We're going to try and get down there on a Saturday, at least a practice in the morning. with the big tour tires. I don't know if we're going to run any weekly races. We have looked into it. You know, maybe bringing our family car down there, because the place is impressive. When you walk in there, and it's the Coliseum of racing. You got stands all around. And Jeff got into telling some, you know, war stories after you win the race. You push the car one lap around, and everybody's cheering. You know, it really made me want to come down there and be a part of that. So we're going to, you know, shoot for some open weekends. Hopefully we can run some weekly races there.
Will you do any racing up north?
Yeah, we're going to continue to do, you know, the Whalen Northern Tour and even my home series of the True Value Tour. We want to do the Loudons and the Thompsons, the Mansfield, Ohio race, as well as, you know, sticking to my home tracks of Star Speedway and Lee Speedway.
And did you come in the series last year and you win a race in a family car? Now that you got in the number one ride, do you feel that you had the respect of like a Burt Myers or a Tim Brown, Junior Miller, which obviously nominated for you for this ride? Do you feel like that you have everybody's respect now?
I don't know if I have their respect just yet, because I haven't had a ton of wheel time with them. I think I got their attention, you know, and to when Jeff told me that Junior was the one that, you know, told them to keep their eye on me, that was huge. I've raced wheel to wheel pretty good with Tim Brown, some other people like that, you know, so I think they know, you know, even though I'm a rookie, I should be able to hold my own, and hopefully, you know, they don't have to be too scared around me.
The family atmosphere. I interviewed Jeff Riggs. He says that the biggest thing why he selected you was not only are you 20 years old and you'll listen, that you already had a race won under your belt. He selected you because of your family oriented, and his family is very well family oriented. That has to be good.
Yeah, you know, that was huge on their part. They've seen how we operate, and we've seen how they operate. When we get to the track, you know, down south, my sister's with me, my parents are with me, you know, my father's the crew chief. You know, we're very family-oriented. We're not a big showboat team. We build a lot of our own parts, and I think he saw a lot of that in his own team and knew, you know, we didn't expect, you know, everything brand new and chrome. And we're a family that raced together. You know, we stayed together. And, you know, he really liked that about us, and he didn't think that that part of the race team would be a problem to gel. And I think he's right. I think it's going to work very well.
And he even complimented you bringing your dad down and your sister down for the press conference. And, you know, you live in northern New York. What will you do? Will you move down to the south, or will you stay up there, or what will you do?
Eventually I'd like to move down south, you know, for sure, and be a part of this Whalen Southern Modified Tour on a regular thing, and, you know, maybe get a ride at Bowman Gray, too. If I could do that and be racing down south all the time, then for sure I'd move down south. But right now, you know, I'm doing 13 races on the southern schedule, and the rest of the weekends we're going to run up here. And, you know, the other thing is we do have the like they said, we're family-oriented. We got the family business up here. It's booming in the summer. So, you know, I'm not ready to move away just yet, but I sure am looking to.
What will you do between now and March the 22nd on the season opener at Caraway Speedway? What will you do between now and then? Will you do any testing, or will you go get fitted for a seat, or you have a hands-on experience on the car, or what?
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of work on our car. In fact, right now I'm just taking a break from working on our car, getting it ready for the North-South or the New Smyrna Speed Weeks going down there. We won the championship a couple of years ago. We're going to do that. You know, when I get home from there, we'll be down at Riggs Racing getting seats put in the car. And, you know, they feel pretty confident going into Caraway. And we talked about setups that I don't think we're going to test before we go to Caraway. But, you know, we will be testing before we go to Bowman Gray and other tracks like that where I haven't visited.
Well, you certainly have lined up. You raised some eyebrows to get this ride. And, you know, we can't wait to see you get started. And we wish you well. Now, I got to ask you one question. Have you had grits yet down here in the South?
They, you know, it's not just a Southern thing. They got them up at the Cracker Barrels up here. I've tried them once or twice. They're not bad.
How about barbecue?
See, Skip, we've been exporting our Southern technology up north all along.
That's right. It's hidden, but you could find it.
At the Cracker Barrel, no doubt. Andy, I got to tell you, it's the first time I ever heard that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's good eating if you go for a Sunday morning breakfast.
That's wild. All right.
That's what you got for Andy.
All right, Andy, that's pretty cool. So when's your first race again now?
March 22nd, Caraway Speedway.
And your website address is?
AndySeuss.com. Seuss, spelt like Seuss, S-E-U-S-S.
Yes, there you go. All right, Andy. Zeus. Zeiss.
That's right.
Andy Zeiss. Yep. That's a name I think we're going to get real familiar with in 2008 in the Southern Modifieds down here. And pretty cool. Thanks a lot, Skip, and we're going to have to move along. We're getting ready to hook up with the folks down at South Georgia Motorsports Park, and then we're going to talk to one of the representatives from the North Carolina Motorsports Association, which does promotion and marketing of all the short tracks in the Carolinas and dealing with businesses. And then we're going to talk to Blake Lear, and who's a late model driver, is going to be down at the Speed Fest in Lakeland this weekend. And Skip, of course, I'll be talking to you again real soon. And Andy, I wish you the best of luck in 2008, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. And Skip, we'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you in a couple of weeks, Andy.
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a great job. You know,
he's a well-spoken young man.
Yeah, he is. And climbing in that Junior Miller ride, man. Junior Miller having that ride for many, many years. That's quite a step up.
Yeah. So what do you expect, Rick? Tell people what to expect. What do you think is going to be the storyline at USA International Speedway? I mean, Friday night you got a lot of racing on Friday night.
Yeah, right. You got the qualifying racing and a whole bunch of stuff.
The ASA deal, and then the 200. I mean, tell us what you think is going to happen over there.
Well, it's going to be a heck of two nights. Actually, starting Thursday night. You got Kyle Busch coming in, super late models, the North and the South guys, the ASA on the big three-quarter mile, hoping that'll turn into something where that'll be a regularly scheduled race. This is just a challenge, not even a challenge race. This is just the guys coming up to Lakeland. Of course, you got Rob Partlow and Patrick Starpoli from down here, Don Brannon, Chris Fontaine, big Wayne Morris is also going to run, Travis Wilson. You know, and then you got in the super late models, of course, you got Showcat. Schofield's going to be there. Schofield, the champion at DeSoto for the third time this year. Going to be a lot of racing for 2 days. Going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to Saturday night. As soon as I get off work, I'll be up there watching some super late models go around.
Lakeland, Florida. Oh, boy. That's a fast, big track. It's a great facility. It's one of the best short track facilities in the South.
Augie Grill's name's on the list, too.
You know, there's another really, really good a palace. We always call it the palace when we go up there. South Georgia Motorsports Park. And with us tonight is Dennis Nixon from South Georgia Motorsports Park, the short track side of the track up there. Welcome, Dennis, to Real Racing USA Live.
Hey, glad to be on the show.
Yeah. So what is your you notice, Rick, we've started the show. We started up north, and we've kind of working our way south. You know, what's your role up there, Dennis, with the track?
Well, I'm actually the manager for the Speedway side. Like you said earlier, our facility is we have a quarter mile concrete drag strip, and then we have a half mile oval circle track. So I'm actually the manager of the oval track side.
Yeah, that's a very unique design too. The first time I was there, I was just you can be on one side instantly, you can be on the other side. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the way that it was designed, they actually built the concrete bleachers on a hill, and then at the top of it, we have 9 suites that are available, and you can see either track from the suites. And we have a lot of people come in and rent the suites, and then this year we're actually going to do something different. The track has new owners. Roland and Kim Wood have purchased the track in October, the latter part of October, and we're really going to do some neat things with it. But this year we're going to actually run some events to where they can come in and get 2-for-1 type admission and watch some drag racing on the one side and the oval track on the other.
Tell us a little bit about the track, the shape, the banking, and all that.
The track is actually like a D shape. The back straightaway is pretty straight, and then you go into turn three and four, and it just kind of sweeps around, making like a D. The flag stand actually sits in the middle of the D, and then it goes into to one and two, makes a little bit of a cook coming off, and you're down a straight back straightaway. The banking is, when they built it, was a progressive banking where it's like a 7, 9, and 11 type degree banking, all concrete around the outside with a concrete pit row and asphalt pit row. So it's they actually built a beautiful facility. It's one of the finest in the country, and we're up there fine-tuning and getting it set for the next level. We actually have a Hooters Pro Cup race there coming on the 29th of April. We're also starting a Big 12 series for late models, which will be running six races for crate late models and six races for the super late models.
Now, that'll be your own class of late models, or is it a touring?
Well, actually, the crate late models are going to be a lot like the pro late models that they have out at Five Flags, the Gas series, and then the Viper series that they run at South Alabama. We took all the rules and massaged them a little bit so all those guys can come run the crate series. And then, of course, the Super Series, it's going to follow along the guidelines of the Sun Belt and the CRA type stuff so all these super guys can come up there and run.
There you go. That's a good deal. Now, you got a little bit of Winter Nationals action coming up.
Yeah, we've got some action. That actually, we're going to have a Ultimate Speed Fest weekend, which will be February 8th, 9th, and 10th. On the 8th, we'll have a 40-lap crate late model race. On Saturday, we'll have a 60-lap crate late model type race, along with our regular shows. And on Saturday night will be a night that we do dual racing, because on the drag strip side, we're going to have wheel standers and an Elvis impersonator and everything. So, again, the same thing. They'll get in for one general admission price and be able to watch both sides of it. Then on Sunday, we've got some pro mods going to be on the drag strip, and then we're going to have our first annual car show and parts-a-rama on the circle track side on Sunday. So all the guys that are looking to sell some of the race car parts, buy some race car parts, we're going to turn the whole infield into a big parts swap meet deal, and then we're going to have classic cars, tuners, motorcycles all around the speedway for a big car show deal.
Now, Dennis, this is a little different for you because usually you're on the other side of the microphone, aren't you?
Yeah, this is a little bit different. I actually do a show in the North Florida area called the Southern Speed Racing Report, and we cover NASCAR, NHRA. Then we cover the local events for all the local tracks that send us the information. And then Thursday I have a day we call R2G2. It's Racing Rumors and Garage Gossip, and I give all the fans some inside scoop on what's going on. And then on Fridays, we set the stage for everything that's taking place in the state of Florida and South Georgia as far as racing goes. And then we also let them know what the NASCAR people are doing and what the NHRA people are doing and what Hooters is doing and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's a little different being on this side. You know, I'm used to doing it from the other side, but it's a good little deal. I like all this.
And you've been doing that for 4 years?
I've been doing the Southern Speed Racing Report. We're on our fourth year with that. And started out at the station in the Live Oak area. They didn't have any other sports thing, and they came to me and asked me if I'd do some stuff on some racing. And we thought it was going to be a one-year deal, and next thing you know, it just took off. And we've been real fortunate to have some great sponsors. Matter of fact, we have Skinner's Paint and Body Shop in our area that's one of the sponsors now, and they've been with us for 2 years sponsoring the show.
Well, you know, the Speedway, like you're just a little bit north of Valdosta up there, South Georgia Motorsports Park. And what is it, 25 miles, 30 miles into the state from Florida?
It is exit 32.
Yeah.
And we're like 3 miles off the interstate. Matter of fact, they're redoing all of that right in that area and about have it finished up to our exit. So you have three lanes of traffic both ways, and you get off the interstate and head east about a half a mile across the railroad track, turn left on 41.
It's right there.
We're down there 2 miles on the left.
Yeah, it's right there. I mean, it's right off the interstate. I mean, as a matter of fact, when you're at the track, you're right on the interstate. And so it's 30 miles. So the point I was getting to is, like, in a very and there's a small area. It's not that far from, like, say, Lake City, Florida, where there's a racing fan base there that's pretty good because of two tracks there. And so it's a good area to promote, I would think.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, and there's some dirt tracks in and around the area. Then you have Cordele that's north of us. And, of course, you have Columbia Motorsports Park and North Florida Speedway to the south. And really, we're the only thing in that area. You've got to go all the way to Weewah-Itchka to get to a dirt track. And then you've got Pensacola out on the panhandle part of the state. And
sure.
Yeah, we're right in the heart of it. So that's great weather and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. This is a little bit off of the subject of the South Georgia Motorsports Park, which we'll get back to here in a minute. But when's the last time you were at the North Florida Speedway?
I ran at North Florida Speedway. They had a deal during Thanksgiving. And I have never seen as many cars at North Florida Speedway. Matter of fact, we ran our feature, and it started at 1 o'clock in the morning. When I got done, I just loaded up, went home, and they still had two features left. But they must have had 130 cars there that night, and it was pretty wild. But I grew up racing at Volusia and New Smyrna and Ocala and everything, and I love the dirt stuff. But you know, now I'm in the middle of promoting an asphalt speedway, but. I've done that. I worked with the Pals when they had Ocala Speedway, helped Burton Lee Isle Ashman at Columbia Motorsports Park, and then been in the racing business pretty much all my life.
Well, it's amazing, you know, because on last night's Inside Florida Racing show that we do, it's a Monday night show that we do on Real Racing USA, we announced I run the website called Carnac.com, and we gave away some awards. We announced some awards last night on the show, and we named the Phil and Liz Guadagno up at North Florida Speedway as the Florida, Carnac.com Florida Promoters of the Year. And as we looked around the state, and the more we talked to them, the more I think it was absolutely the right choice, huh?
Oh, yeah. They have done a real good job with that speedway. You know, gone in, put a new surface on it. And, you know, the racing business, so many people think you just open up on a Friday or Saturday night and go racing and everything. But it's 24/7s, and you get beat up every single night. you however many classes you have, you've got five people or six people, if that's how many classes, that love you that night. And then the next week you got a whole different group that likes you. But it's fun, though. It's neat for all the people to come out. And what I really enjoy the most about the short track racing is this is where it's all started. You know, NASCAR and them seem to forget where it all originated from. But, you know, these people can go out there and actually talk to the drivers and get autographs and be part of it. And that's what's so much fun. You see these little kids and they get an autograph and you just see them. Their just eyes just light up and they're just at awe. And that's what's so much fun. I just love that part of it.
Oh, I do too. As a matter of fact, that's why we don't, you know, I've never had an inclination. I've been in the racing media part here for 11, 12 years. I've never, ever had a desire or an inclination to do coverage of anything like the big cup deals or even Busch or anything. I mean, it's when you go to a super late model race, or a big modified race, you know, where there's you got guys that are really, really talented, and you can get right up close to them, you can talk to them, you know, and you don't have that access. The fans no longer have that
right,
access.
Right, and I mean, it'll be the same at Lakeland this weekend.
Sure.
You know, you'll have the autograph session on the front stretch.
Sure.
And there's nothing like it for the fans to just walk out there on the track and see the guys without their helmets on outside of the race car.
Right.
It's a whole different deal.
And even for us in the media, it's a lot. It's just you don't have the stress. You know, Dennis, you really don't have all those kind of stresses and strains. Yet, you know, it's very professional at the same time.
Yeah, it's like we currently, during the off season, we do a lot of track rentals to the cup teams and stuff like that. And it's so much different to see these guys when they're like at our facility. Like we've had Red Bull there this week and everything. We had Hoff there last week, and they love that stuff because that's where most of them came from. And you hear some of the stories and things that they tell about and stuff. And you know, granted, they don't have any personal lives anymore because most of the time when they get involved in places like Daytona and stuff like that, they just about have to hide because there's just so many people. But they come to our facility and things and just have a blast. You know, you see these guys and you're like, you know, they're real people. They're just like us, but they get in that upper level and they get pulled by so many things like these corporate sponsors. You know, they have to be here, have to be there, and do all that stuff. And I know they miss this stuff because when they come to the short tracks, they just have such a great time.
Yeah. Now, when people are going to travel, if they have to stay overnight, if they're going to travel to your Speedway at South Georgia Motorsports Park, there's plenty of great places to stay from every price range right down the road in Valdosta. Or isn't it Adel or whatever, however you say it, right up north of you?
Yeah, Adel is actually about 4 miles past the Speedway, and then Valdosta is like 12 miles south of the Speedway. And I've gone out and we've beat the bushes, and we've got these motels in the areas to where they're giving these race fans special rates and things like that. And we also have – our facility has 358 acres, and we've got plenty of area for RV parking for people that want to tailgate. Matter of fact, in the works right now, we've got the county's okay, and we're getting ready to put in an RV park. It's going to take a little bit of time, but as it stands right now, there's plenty of room for the people to come in and park. And we have that happen. The Hooters race that was there in the end of October, we actually had probably 200 RVs parked out in our fields and everything just to hang out and camp out for a couple of days. And we're looking forward to that for our Speedfest type deal that we're having in February. We've had inquiries, people calling, hey, you know, can we park our RV? Heck yeah, you can park it. And they're going to get 3 days of all kinds of racing and the car show and the Parts-O-Rama. So it's neat. We plan on 09 making it a beginning to like Speed Weeks. So we want to try to have 3 or 4 nights of racing and catch everybody as they're going south before they go to Lakeland and New Smyrna and everything like that.
Yeah, that I-75 is there for a reason, boy.
Yeah, it sure is. It's there for them to come by and stop with us and then head on south.
There you go. You know, you said you were talking about the Hooters Pro Cup race. You also got the ASA Late Model South Series coming to your track.
Yeah, they've ran the ASA series and also the gas series. We're in the middle of working on our ASA deal and stuff, and we're even working already in the 09 area because we got kind of a late start as far as getting corporate sponsors and things like that involved with the Speedway because most of them set their budgets up in October, November type deal, and that's what we're really working hard on now is trying to get some sponsors in place for this year. But next year in 09, we plan on having another Hooters race. I'm working on an ARCA race and even a Busch East race, so we're going to take it to a new level there at South Georgia Motorsports Park.
Yeah, I've been there myself for Hooters races, for ASA late model races, and it's a great place to go, there's no doubt. And so just an awesome facility.
I imagine I'll be there this year.
I imagine you will.
Yeah.
Now that you're not stuck. But now that Rick's not see, he's been stuck in the announcing booth on Saturday nights for the last 5 years. He's like a kid. He's back on the road, you know, because we used to travel a lot. And he's back on the road, so he's excited.
Well, that's great, and a lot of people just don't understand. We've got some of the best racers in the country right here in the Southeast. I mean, Florida has some great drivers, and we're working on drivers there in the Georgia area and all. And you know, when you speak of people like Vicky Anderson and Wayne Anderson and Justin Draughty and Justin Larson, who's coming up, Fane Skinner, and all these guys like that. These guys are here in Florida, and I mean, they drive with the best of them. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people just don't give them credit, but there's a lot of credit due to these drivers in the southeastern part.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Now, tell us, before you go here, I want you to tell everybody how they can listen to your radio deal every week.
If you're in the North Florida area, we're on 106.1. It's WLVO. And we're working on some other deals so that we can get this put on the internet and carry the broadcast all over.
All right, cool.
All right,
man. We're gonna leave you here, and we're gonna take a trip up to, I guess we're going up to North Carolina and talk to the folks up there at the North Carolina Motorsports Association, which is an organization designed to help promote short track racing to the public and politicians and the important people who make the world go round. So there
you go.
We'll talk to you again real soon, Dennis. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, it was great being on your show, and I appreciate it. And come north, come see us.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely will.
All right, Dennis Nixon from South Georgia Motorsports.
Real interesting. I mean, I've been looking over their website and stuff, which is racesgmp.com, and a really nice website. Fast racetrack. Talked to a lot of people that have raced there, and it's a really, really fast racetrack. You know, he's working on Busch East, got the Hooters Pro Cup, ASA is going to be there, plus their own weekly touring series, and they got a big deal for their own late models, super late models, limited late models. So check him out up there at South Georgia Motorsports Park. Of course, this weekend, of course, we're talking about USA International Speedway kicking off. A lot of the drivers that are going to race up there during the course of the year will be down here.
Yes, John?
Augie Grill, the winner of the Snowball Derby, will be there. Justin Larson, Wayne Anderson, Brian Finney, Jay Middleton. The list goes on and on. So it's going to be a great weekend up at USA International Speedway for SpeedFest 2008.
And we have with us now, as promised, Sean Stewart from the North Carolina Motorsports Association. Welcome to Real Racing in the USA Live, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
We ran across a press release about a week ago, and it was very intriguing about the an organization in North Carolina that we were not familiar with that is out working in the public interest for the future of short track racing. Tell us about the organization, Sean.
Well, yeah, the press release went out, and it took about 5 seconds to send it out, but it's been a good solid year in the making. And the NCMA, the North Carolina Motorsports Association, could be viewed kind of like a chamber of commerce for the industry. In the state of North Carolina, it's a $6 billion industry with about 27,000 jobs. So, and that includes, obviously, the big giant, the NASCAR giant, where, a lot of teams are housed there. But that also includes the short track racing and the grassroots racing. And so we wanted to address that as an organization that covers all of motorsports. We wanted to cover the short tracks as well. And so just kind of figured, as step one, let's just get them all in a room and sit down and see what to do. And that was back in 2006. So we did that. We had just a small group, about 5-6 tracks, and some more continued to grow. And it started out as just brainstorming meetings. But, a lot of things. Obviously, some short tracks are doing good. I was listening to your show in Bowman Gray Stadium. Yeah, they've got Greg Garrison's on our short track council, and they've got great attendance, but some of the other tracks don't and going out of business. And we all know across the country short track racing is hurting. So we just wanted to get together and see what we could do. And obviously there were a lot of things to do. Some of the things we don't do in the short track council is talk about rules and that kind of thing. We steer away from that, but what are the things that, all the tracks have in common? And so we kind of kept coming back to, just telling the story of what a short track is. And I've been listening to your show tonight, and there's been some talk about it, low cost for families. There's no minor league sporting event, or any sporting event for that matter, that's as inexpensive as short track racing. So kept coming back to kind of the economics and the community impact and what do they mean to the community, and really had to ask a pretty tough question: is do the short tracks mean anything to the community? Maybe we discover that they don't, and then we all have to realize that. But it was really the opposite of that. We realized that some of the things we discovered was just in North Carolina combined, and this is dirt tracks and pavement ovals. You know, there's over 1 million people a year that are going to those races, which is more than the Carolina Panthers and more than the Carolina Hurricanes professional teams and more than the Coca-Cola 600.
Well, it's like in the county that I live in Florida, there is a baseball team. I think it's a B-League, a minor league baseball team. And there's a short track, 3/8 mile short track that runs probably 45 weeks, at least 45 weeks out of the year. They put more people over the course of the year because the baseball season obviously isn't as long. They bring more people in from around the state. I mean, you know, you have a big late model race just this past weekend. There was 27 late model teams came in just for the one class, and about over half of those were from somewhere else.
Yeah, and I can give you two great examples. One, Concord Motorsports Park there in North Carolina, very close to Lowe's Motor Speedway. They have a modified event each year, draws in, fills up the hotels in the area. The tourism there didn't, the Department of Tourism there in Concord had no idea about this event. So just stopping by and letting them know about this event has totally changed their relationship. Now they're willing to help out and wanting to get involved with that track because they didn't even know that there wasn't another motorsports event going on. And another example with the baseball that you just compared, Winston-Salem, they're building a baseball stadium, and they're getting $27 million to build this stadium. Well, when they submitted for this public funding, they put in that they would have an average attendance of 700 people per baseball game.
Right.
So, you know, we look at that and you compare it, and the short tracks are very similar, and you know it's a very similar comparison. But short tracks aren't getting $27 million. However, nothing comes easily, and the group that got that amount of money to build the stadium started the process of that over 10 years ago. So, you know, these things don't happen overnight. But our goal with the white paper is to, you know, put out the story about the short tracks and what they mean and what they could mean if there were, you know, public funding and more support behind them. You know, they could be a lot of things besides just Saturday night racing as well.
But, you know, a huge difference, I see a lot of comparisons in the white paper with the minor league baseball teams and stuff, and we've talked about that. But the huge difference between the revenue in the minor league baseball team and the short tracks is that the competitors in the minor league baseball team aren't paying to play baseball, where the competitors at the short track are paying to play.
Yeah, and that's a big factor. I mean, that's something else that really I think most, you know, local officials and people like that don't realize. They just look at, well, it's just cars going around a track. But what you have as well is you have in North Carolina, there's over 1,600 race teams. Now, that's not, you know, the Hendrick Motorsports and the Roushes of the world. That's the local guy that's got a late model team and, you know, mom is helping out and he's got four or five guys volunteering. But those guys, too, some of them rent shops in the area. And so 1,600 teams, and then we discovered on top of that, about 40% of those teams are local business owners or their sponsors are local businesses. So here you have a local business. Take a Hickory Motor Speedway in Hickory, for example. You've got race teams coming in there, making money in the community with their businesses and then pouring that right back into real estate through race shops or, you know, coming to the racetrack and spending money in that area. So, you know, a lot of these things just aren't, they're sort of known to those of us that either have one of those race teams or own a track, but what we're trying to do is just organize that and get a good message out on what that means. And what we've been kind of saying amongst our short track council is, you know, you don't have to turn your community into a race fan, although you'd like that, but you do have to make them understand, you know, it's sort of the short track's responsibility to make the community understand what they mean.
And a lot of what I see here in Florida is, you know, a lot of these tracks aren't doing that. I mean, they're not saying what, you know, what profit they can show the community that they're in.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, some of our short track owners and promoters have, you know, kind of admitted that they're, you know, they're focused on, you know, and it's tough. You know, these tracks operate with, you know, limited resources, and the track owners have to wear a lot of hats. And, you know, but some of them have admitted that, you know, hey, we have to change our focus and you know, focus more on maybe some things that we don't even understand. So we did have one guy that came in. He's not a track owner or promoter, but he's worked as a public advocacy guy and came in. He has a website, actually, that is very useful that all short tracks should check out. It's totally free. It's called tracklegislation.com. And yep. He's come in and kind of explained to us how, you know, communities work, county commissioners works, all the way up onto your state Congress, or, you know, from every level of government. He's kind of helped explain to us, you know, how the his website. He's just a big short track fan, like a lot of us, and he's put together articles of, I mean, everything you could imagine. If you have a noise issue, you can go to his website and look and see what other tracks have done. But one thing, you know, we're realizing is, you know, tracks have the same issues, noise, you know, the same issues with the community. A minor league baseball team gets put in and gets $27 million and they get nothing. But they've got to get involved in that process and understand how it works. And like you said, some of the tracks aren't doing it. The way I look at it is it took that baseball team or the organization 10 years to get $27 million. Well, that's a long time, but if you divide that over 10 years, got paid over $2 million a year.
Absolutely.
Well worth the time and effort.
Absolutely. And, you know, that track legislation website, we've had a link on that for that website on Karnak.com for a couple of years now, and as a matter of fact, there's a this racetrack that's near me. It's owned. It's on an air, you know, a public property that's managed by the airport. In other words, it's leased from the airport authority. And a few years ago, the airport was, you know, there's five board members, and they were considering getting rid of the racetrack because, you know, one thing or the other. And one of those board members happens to be a race fan, and when we sat down and had a meeting with her, and it was kind of inspired by that website that you said, because I'd had this idea, but just seeing that this guy had put that website together kind of lit a fire in me and another couple of people who are involved in the media. And we met with this board member, and we gave her just this outline of how much an economy there is around a racetrack that's not seen by the community. And she picked up that and became her mantra, and it she became a real advocate for letting the other government officials in the area know about it. So, you know, you can have an impact in a short period of time that can be beneficial.
Yeah, and that's it, you know, and Robert Johnson, who's from the tracklegislation.com, you know, he's kind of put together a letter for us, and really all the white paper is a tool, just like you said, an introductory tool that, hey, you know, almost all these local officials and things, they'll meet with you. It may not be tomorrow, but, you know, if you got to learn to call their offices and get in their schedule and build relationships. You can't come in and ask for a million things at once, but if you come in, wanted to get the white paper to you, here's some of the impact, and it sparks conversation, and you never know. You'll find out. Maybe they're a race fan, or maybe they want to come out and have a rally at their next election when they realize you got 1,000 people there every Saturday night.
Have you gotten much feedback or any feedback from other folks in other states as a result of the work that you guys have done with this North Carolina Motorsports Association?
Yeah, we have. Actually, Robert Johnson from Track Legislation and myself just went up to New Jersey, to Atlantic City, actually, to the Promoters Summit. I think I have that name right. It was a first annual deal, and we spoke to the group up there just on how to build community relations and how to kind of start your own short track council. I mean, it's we're not talking a lot of money here or anything like that. I mean, it's nothing more than pick a date and a time and a restaurant and get together. And again, you know, we encourage those tracks up in the Northeast, you know, don't get into things, at least in the beginning, that maybe just two tracks have an issue, or don't get into rules, or, you know, we don't talk about sanctioning bodies, and you know, a lot of those decisions are things that those tracks need to decide, but just talk about things that that work for you across the board and pick something and start working on it. And you know, this is nothing new in other industries. I mean, I've gone and looked at other associations. I mean, there's the Beer Association and the Plumbers Association and on and on and on. You could look just about any industry, and they're band together in an association form. So, you know, there's no reason Short Track shouldn't do the same thing.
Absolutely. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but this is something that I've seen come up time to time, is when you try to organize track owners to sit down and talk, because of the innate competitiveness that they have with each other, just like drivers do on the track, sometimes it's a little hard to get cooperation. Did you guys have to go through those kind of growing pains, and how did you deal with that, if you did?
You know, what I did at first is I called Dwight Davies from Concord, and I called Greg Garrison from Bowman Gray Stadium, and just kind of ran the idea by them, and they agreed to it. Also talked to Steve Earwood from Rockingham Dragway, and who's on our board of directors, and they brought up the same question as you, that, well, I don't know if we'll get them all in a room without arguing, but I think it's important, and we encourage the tracks up in the Northeast when we talk to them too, to find somebody, you know, that is in your community that maybe is a racing, you know, somebody that's not attached to a track, and that may be hard to do, but for us, we've been lucky enough that, you know, I don't own a track, and come under the North Carolina Motorsports Association, and then underneath that is the Short Track Council. So it's a real unbiased group, and we sort of set those rules right from the start, that this isn't a place to compete. It's a place to learn from each other and figure out how we get our industry moving forward. And you know, it's a you know, certainly some of our first meetings were kind of all over the map, and we had to steer it back to what do we all need, not what is, you know, what's wrong with your one track, or what don't you like about what this guy's doing or that guy's doing. So, you know, I think with any new group, you've got to weed through that. But, you know, we were able to do it, and our group now is kind of shows up to the meetings knowing that that's not the case, and actually the opposite's happened, to where some tracks have been able, just in networking with each other, just in getting together, you know, every couple months or so, they're comparing notes on, you know, promotions and things like that. I mean, if you're 1,000 miles apart, you're not in competition with each other. I mean, I know everyone's car counts are so, you know, low that you want to hold on to all those car counts, but I think that's the wrong way to look at it. You know, I mean, you've got to look, as they say, past the hood of the race car.
Sean, in your opinion, after doing this white paper and everything, to wrap this up, how do you feel the strength of short track racing is?
And you broke up there. I apologize.
Oh.
How strong do I think it is?
Yeah, what do you think the strength of short track racing is?
I think that it's changed. And you know, it's in our study, we discovered some numbers that, you know, in the last 10 years it's consistently declined.
You know, while NASCAR's reached new heights and all that. But, you know, some people have used the term, oh, well, short track racing's dead. Well, I'm involved in stuff in the ASA Late Model Series and different drivers and things. And I would say it's far from dead, but I think it needs to be redefined, and that's what it's going through, is a redefinition. And all the things that, you know, some of your last calls were just talking about, that the inexpensiveness of it, the family atmosphere, it's grassroots sporting event, and I think that, you know, it's kind of, the short tracks are going to have to realize, you know, we have to change our business model and look at it differently, and I think in the next 10 years, if that happens, it'll be a lot better.
And people can read this, race fans, anybody interested, and you can tell people about it. If you listen to this, make sure you tell a few people about it. It's motorsportsnc.org, and you can access all this information, the white paper. It's very interesting, and anybody who's like interested in the future of short track racing in America should be reading this, because it's just something we need to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and like you said, it's motorsportsnc.org. If you go over and click on councils and then go down to the Short Track Council, it's in there. You can download it, you can read it. You know, certainly people are encouraged to contact us if there's questions and things like that. And you know, certainly we support motorsports in the state of North Carolina. But when it comes to short track racing, I mean, it's the same issue across the country. And again, you know, Hickory Motor Speedway isn't competing with, you know, Bronson Motor Speedway. So there's no reason that, you know, we shouldn't start looking at it as an industry and how do we overall start, you know, getting our industry known.
It's an idea whose time has come, hopefully not too late. I want to change gears with you. We just have a few minutes before we have to go to our next guest, Sean, but I'm not going to let you go without telling us about the other hats you wear.
Well, actually, I'm standing in a hotel room here in Atlanta right now for the NASCAR truck test, so that is my other life. And then I leave here, go back to Charlotte for a day, and then I'll be down in Lakeland for the Speed Fest with Sean Murphy. So I do public relations and marketing for what was SS Racing, which is now SS Greenlight Racing, merged with Greenlight Racing in the truck series. So we're now an ASA late model team and then also a NASCAR Craftsman truck team. So Sean Murphy was Rookie of the Year last year, and we've re-signed him and ready to go. He told me the other day that he went to the banquet and he appreciated the Rookie of the Year and all that, but he really wants that championship status. So we're kicking it off with Lakeland.
Yeah, as we followed him around during the year last year, the ASA thing, man, there were so many close ones where he really almost had the win, like the one at Bristol. Oh, boy. Was that wild?
Let me tell you about Sean Murphy's dad. He's from Ireland, and he's not a real big stock car fan. He loves rally racing and you know, soccer and all that kind of thing. But he likes two tracks, Bristol and Martinsville, I believe. So he came out to the Bristol race. I don't know if he'd been to a race all year long. And you know, one lap to go, Sean's got a 7-car length lead, and he's high-fiving me, you know. And I said, look, it's not over till it's over. And then, you know, he hits turns 3 and 4, and I'm high-fiving him. And in the corner of my eye, I see this car go up into the wall. And it was almost like a dream. We just couldn't believe it. And you know, he ran out of gas at O'Reilly Raceway Park in Indiana and, you know, on and on. So, like he says, it's Murphy's Law, but
exactly.
I think once he cracks the first one, he might rattle off like 5 in a row or something. Like
yeah. It'll be hard to stop him after that.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was at, I think it was Lakeland, USA International Speedway that weekend when you were in Bristol, and I had my laptop. I was in the fast car trailer over there, and all the staff was listening, you know, and we had the volume all turned up, and we were listening to the broadcast, because they were broadcasting it live, and Matt Prier and the gang were broadcasting live, and I was like, oh, my God, what a deflated balloon that was.
Oh, yeah, and I've been, you know, in a lot of deflated balloons in racing, and that's why I told his dad, well, it's not over. But once we hit turn three, you know, I'm just thinking, oh, he's got to be, you know, half throttle by now, and then, yeah, it didn't turn out that way. But that's where the year went, and, you know, credit to him. I mean, he is one of those drivers that, you know, he's just so mellow outside the race car. And even after that, he was apologizing to the guys. And, you know, nothing was his fault when a wheel burst in half. But, you know, he just he keeps the team, you know, calm. And he just, you know, his attitude's always, well, we'll move on to the next one, even though, you know, he's pretty upset inside.
Absolutely. Sean, thanks for being on the show with us. Sean Stewart from North Carolina Motorsports Association. I guess we're going to see you at Lakeland Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, look forward to it. Look forward to getting out of the cold.
Yeah, we'll come track you down. It won't be hard to find Sean's trailer.
No, not at all.
See you there.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you. All right, that was really interesting. Once again, if you want to check that out, it's motorsportsnc.com. Or .org? Is it .com?
It's .org.
.org. A lot of great information on there. Also, that tracklegislation.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great website. I was checking that out a little bit.
Yeah, like in the Karnak link thing.
You know, and these guys, you know, they got these guys together. Similar to what we've done, it was just they put a little more study into their deal, you know, with this white paper. You know, like businesses benefiting from short tracks in North Carolina, an average of 20.1 businesses per track benefit from the events. Example, Cisco, Days Inn, Hoosier and Goodyear Tires, Pepsi and Coca-Cola, Steve Stein, Staples, Domino's, Touch Pro Computers, on and on. You know,
it's amazing. If you look at the people that the businesses have contributed and helped that group through buying memberships, it's unbelievable.
And then like the nonprofits, and I know this from working at a short track for 5 years, the hurricanes we supported, the Red Cross.
That's right.
Many different things. Boy Scouts, we do that. A lot of different things we do at the short track level.
All right, we're switching gears back to USA International Speedway. This weekend, one of the drivers that's going to be there is going to tell us what he's going to do there. Blake Lear, welcome to Real Racing USA Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, are you? I know you made the move from your home down in Florida up to North Carolina. Are you there physically, or are you here?
I'm at the race shop right now in Merritt Island with Brian and Wally Finney.
Oh, good people to hang out with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They teach me all kinds of things. I can't thank them enough.
Yeah. That's good people to hang out with. That's cool. And now you're going over to, let me ask you this before we go to about the deal with Lakeland. What's it like having made this move? And I mean, have you really made the move fully up to North Carolina?
Oh, yes. We got a house up there. We got all our stuff up there. And I can't tell you how excited I am to get up there full time again. And, you know, I really love it up there. So much excitement, so much racing talk going on. And we physically made the move. We're all up there.
All right, cool. So now you'll be here this weekend for the USA International Speedway's Speedfest 2008. What do you got in store?
Well, we got some exciting news. We got Bartow Ford on the car. And if anybody wants to come get my autograph, you can go to Bartow Ford. And if you buy a new or used vehicle before May 1st, you get $200 off and free accessories. And also, we got Hooters of North Lakeland on the car. And you can come get the autograph and you get 10 free wings.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, if you ever, I don't think you'll ever get tired of racing, but if you ever decide to do something different, I think I know what you're going to do.
What's that?
Radio voiceovers.
You're gonna do radio voiceover. No, you're gonna be a salesman, man. You're good.
thank you. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, you know, these marketing partners didn't come on, you know, so easily. I mean, you got to get out there and you got to work for it. It's not easy, but it's fun to, you know, to work for something on yourself, and makes you real proud to put something on the car that, you know, that you work so hard for.
Now, you've been being sponsored by the Predators, which is the Orlando, that's the arena football team, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're on the car as well. We're at the track in the autograph session. We're going to have the Orlando Predators cheerleaders out there as well.
I always look forward to that.
You know what? We didn't make it to one of them games, Rick. Remember?
We didn't do that. Yeah,
we got to come to the first home game on March 22nd. We're going to be bringing the race car out on the field.
March 22nd.
They're signing autographs, and it's going to be real exciting.
We might have to do that.
Yeah.
Home game is March 22nd.
I just wrote it down. Now, Blake, Rick, you think we can get Blake to maybe help us get some good seats in this thing?
You think you can do that for us, Blake?
What do you think, man?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Love to help out.
So, are you excited about going to Lakeland to this race, man?
I can't tell you how excited I am. I'm like jumping out of my shoes for these next few days to come over so I can get in that race car again. This off season, it's been fun, you know, working with these marketing partners and doing this business. And we got the guys in the shop here. We're working on a lot of good stuff, but I just can't wait to get back in the seat.
And especially at Lakeland, right?
Oh yeah, it's a great racetrack, and you know, there's gonna be a lot of great competition there. And it's going to be a really fun race. I'm excited.
Are you driving a Ford or a Chevy?
It's going to be the Orlando Predators Bartow Ford Fusion.
Okay. All right. Now, I was just looking at this the other day. That's why I asked. I was looking at the entry list and looking at who was driving Fords, who was driving Chevys. I think it was a Dodge or two. What's the difference between those two cars at the, you know, in the super late models here, like we're going to be talking about this weekend?
You know, the Fords and the Chevys and the Dodges and, you know, whatnot, you know, the bodies are sort of similar. You just got your nose pieces and your tail pieces that are different. And then, of course, motor-wise, they're a little different.
Which but, one's faster?
They're both equally fast. That's how you set them up.
I tried to catch them, Rick.
So what do you think going to be running up against David Stremme and Kyle Busch this weekend?
I think it's going to be great. It's going to be really exciting, and I'm also really excited about racing against all these other big names that are out there. These are the top late model drivers in the country, and I'm just really, really excited to get back in the seat and battle it out with them.
I'm really excited to be able to go up there and watch that because it is going to be one heck of a race this weekend.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be we're also racing the North race. That's how you know how much we've moved to North Carolina. We're racing in the North race, not the South.
Well, they moved the Mason-Dixon line, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah, they moved it down a little bit.
You're going to be racing the North race sponsored by Bartow, Florida, and Orlando Predators.
Yes, I am.
You're opening up new markets, man.
There you go, man. That's
a great
awesome
marketing opportunity for these marketing partners to put their name on the car because it's, you know, this is such an exciting race, and for the Lakeland surrounding area, it's going to be just great for the fans to watch, come out and watch, and you know, get these sign these cards out, and you know, they give them 10 free wings for Hooters there of Lakeland, and you know, they go to Bartow Ford and see my buddy Mike Beedenbow, who's the sales manager there, car sales manager, and they go in and buy a new used car before May 1st, and they get $200 off and free accessories.
Awesome job, Blake.
Blake, now this will be you'll be starting your what is this your third year in late model super late models?
This is my second year in super late.
Oh, this will be your second year. Last year was your first year.
Last year was my rookie season.
Oh, okay, okay. That seemed like it was. Man, it was a long time.
Yeah, last year was a long year.
We traveled a lot, so it was a long time. So this will be your second year. Now, how old are you now?
17.
So we've been talking to, you know, there's these 13, 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids who are racing, starting to move into late models and super late models. On the marketing end of it and getting marketing partners and taking care of them and all that, what kind of advice would you give those youngsters that are a little bit younger than yourself and haven't gone through what you've gone through?
The best advice that I could give anybody, you know, no matter what age, is, you know, you got to go out there and you got to work. I mean, this is like a business, and you got to go after it, and you got to show these guys with the, you know, how great of a market this is for them. You know, put their name on your car, and you got to give them something to show them that they're actually going to get a lot back, more back from what they did. And, you know, it's tough work, and you can't give up. Never give up. Never quit your dreams. And it's just, it's really great feeling after you have something like that.
Yeah, so you've been rubbing shoulders with some famous people up there in the Concord area?
Well, I'd like to say so. No, there's a lot of really great people up there that I've met so far, and you know, I have an agent, Rick Jones. He's the same agent Juan Montoya has, and he's been doing a great job for me and getting me some good meetings, and we're trying to work some stuff out for next year, and we're running the Pass Series, the Pass South Series next year, and we're looking to run a little more. We're trying to put some Camping World races together before the year starts, and you know, we're looking to get a couple ASA rides, and you know, we're always working hard.
Yeah, what do you think about that? We had earlier today. We started the show off, as a matter of fact, with John Key, the marketing director from the ASA Southeast Tour, the Super Late Model Series, and they have the big TV package. What do you think about that TV package and that kind of deal?
I think the TV package for the ASA South race this season is just phenomenal. You could really show marketing partners, you know, how much more they can get out of it. TV time's just, it's gold. And I was really excited when I heard about that.
So is that something that you're going to be, you're not running crate motors. You've never done that. You went straight to the big, big, big cars.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to stick with, huh?
Well, no, like I said, we're working on some deals. You know, hopefully, you know, we're even working on a deal where maybe I can get into a Craftsman truck as soon as I turn 18, and, you know, we're working on some Camping World East rides, and we're also working on some ASA South rides. And
okay, cool.
We're registered right now to race in the Pass Series, but, you know, that's just Pass South Series is what we're going to be racing in this year.
Right.
And, you know, but we're always looking for more.
All right. Well, tell you what, we're up against the clock, man. I really appreciate you being available for us tonight. We'll see you. I'll see you Friday, and Rick and I'll both be there Saturday at Lakeland for Speedfest 2008. We'll come find you.
Good. I'm glad you guys can make it out. Really wanted to thank you for having me on the show, and I'd like to thank Finney Racing for helping me out, and I'd like to thank the Orlando Predators and the Bartow Ford Fusion. All you fans, thank you so much, and I hope you guys can all make it out and get 10 free wings for Hooters, and you take it in there and go get your wings and have a good meal, and I just wanted to say thanks.
All right, Blake, all right. And tell Brian and Kenny we said hello. We love those guys, man.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Blake. Good talking to you again. We'll see you Saturday.
I said Brian and Kenny. I was doing one of them Kenny Finney things. It's actually Brian and Kevin.
Brian and Kevin Finney.
I was trying to say Brian and Kevin. I tried to squeeze it into one word. What a deal, man. We've covered some ground here tonight.
Oh, man, we've been all over the place tonight.
ASA Southeast Tour, we've covered that. We went to Joe Schmalling with the Super Cup Series. Dennis Nixon, of course, with South Georgia Motorsports Park. Sean Stewart from the short track organization up there in North Carolina, motorsportsnc.org.
Andy Zeiss.
Oh, Andy Zeiss, along with our buddy Skip Wall, who helps us out all the time. And Blake Lear.
Yeah.
Up-and-coming, super late model driver.
He's a talker, man.
He's good. He's very good.
He'll be good for somebody's team.
He's very good. Yep. And he's a pretty good driver, too.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So, I don't have a clue what we're going to have next week. I said I do. Next week, we know for a fact we're talking to Martin Pierce, who's now owned Huntsville Speedway for a couple of years.
Yep.
Looks like we're going to have Travis Kittleson on, who's got a full-time Hooters Pro Cup.
Yep.
And who knows what else. Tomorrow night, Straight Line with Stevie and the ASA, the O'Reilly ASA Late Models.
There you go.
Cool. Cool.
Until next Tuesday night, we'll see you right here, Real Racing USA Live, 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesday night. I'm Rick Andrews, along with Jack Smith. Good night now.